Stone & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063. The game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Caroline Fenton was with the midday show today. Ian is out. Nick is in today. Hello, Nick.
Hello, hello.
So let's get right to it. I was out yesterday. I appreciate Caroline Fenton and Adam Vingan for the job they did on short notice. I thought they were fabulous. I want to start, though, on what I'm hearing. It killed me to not be on the radio yesterday, given all of the drama and gossip and speculation as to what happened to John Robinson, why he's out, and the things that I have heard. And I have to tell you, I've had people call me this week, and I know exactly why they're calling me when they call me. I've called people this week who I am sure know exactly why I'm calling when I call. And I cannot begin to tell you how frustrating it has been to talk to so many different people that would normally be in the know or are in the know, and to come to with the conclusion that the Titans fired John Robinson simply because they thought he wasn't doing a good enough job on the football front. And I talked to a high-level source who told me this wasn't a knee-jerk reaction to what happened with A.J. Brown. Sunday's game with A.J. Brown was not, you traded A.J., A.J. went off, you're fired, as many people assume that it might be. I was told by a high-level source there wasn't really a lot of infighting between Robinson and Mike Vrabel. I was told by that high-level source this had been building up over time. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying I endorse it. I'm just telling you what I have heard, because I truly am stunned by that being the outcome. When John Robinson got fired on Tuesday morning, I assumed there was something. And it was probably something, whether it was misconduct, whether it was infighting, whether it was something disrespectful that was said to the owner, whatever it may have been, I figured it was something. And I was told, just for the most part, you know all the things you guys have talked about on the radio? The Caleb Farley pick, the Dylan Raidens pick, the Isaiah Wilson pick, the Julio Jones trade. Yeah, all those things, it just, over time, Amy took a look in the mirror and she decided, you know what? This is not the direction I want to head into. So even though it's in the middle of the season, and even though there's really no real added advantage for the Titans, it had been brewing for a while, and on Sunday, that was it. That's what I was told. Again, I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just telling you that's what I was told. But I do want to go back to something that Amy Adams Strunk said years ago. And it's crazy how this stuck in my head. But I remember when Amy Adams Strunk did the first interview ever. People are all mad because Amy Adams Strunk didn't do a press conference when they fired John Robinson. And a lot of people are, you know, she's got to be out there. She's got to address it. She's got to. Well, she didn't do a press conference when they fired Ken Whisenhunt. Steve Underwood did. She didn't do a press conference when they hired John Robinson and Mike Mularkey. Steve Underwood did. She didn't do a press conference when they fired Mike Mularkey. John Robinson did. So this isn't really something new. And they said that once they got the coach and the general manager hired in Mularkey and Robinson, that Amy Adams Strunk was going to be out there more often, and she has been. You got to give her that. You got to be fair. But she did an interview for the Titans website years ago. And it was something she said that I remember that stuck out into my mind, and I never thought about it. Think about me putting this in a filing cabinet and just keeping it there. And then all of a sudden in this situation, it immediately popping up. And this goes back to 2016. She did an interview with Mike Keith. And she was talking about her father, Bud Adams, as the owner of the Titans. And before we get to the clip, I just want to give some context to it. Bum Phillips, last season, was put into the Titans Ring of Honor, just like Floyd Reese and Jeff Fisher. Bum Phillips was the head coach of the Love Ya Blue era of the Houston Oilers. So we're talking about the 70s. We're talking about Dan Pastorini and Earl Campbell and that group. And that team went to back-to-back AFC championship games. Then they lost a wild card game against the Raiders the next year. And Bud Adams, who was known for being very reactive, Bud Adams fired Bum Phillips. And the Oilers were never the same. In fact, Bum Phillips won 61% of his games as head coach of the Houston Oilers. John Robinson, as general manager of the Titans, won 61% of his games. And Bum Phillips was the general manager at the same time he was the head coach. And so this was 2016, Amy Adams Strunk kind of reflecting on what her father was as the owner of the Oilers and the Titans and what it maybe meant for her. This was what Amy Adams Strunk said 6 years ago.
I saw my dad in the beginning years. He was pretty quick on the trigger. You know, we won two AFL championship games and, you know, he fired his coach, Lou Remkes. You had the Bum years, and if I had to guess, I bet Daddy would have liked to have had Bum back, but, you know, things happen, and, you know, I think you learn that it isn't always greener. You know, you need to have some patience, but when the big decisions need to happen, you know, you need to make them.
Okay, so she said, I think my father would have wished that he had had Bum Phillips back. And again, Bum Phillips went to the playoffs 3 years in a row, two AFC championship games, a wild card loss to the Raiders, and Bud Adams was done. You heard Amy say, I think that he wishes he could go back, and sometimes the grass isn't always greener. When she made this decision with John Robinson, I'm hopeful this isn't her Bum Phillips decision. I wasn't alive during the Love You Blue era, so all I know is what I've seen in documentaries and what I've heard people say and so on and so forth. I didn't live through it, so I can't tell you exactly what Bum Phillips said this or what. And not only that, they weren't here in Nashville when it happened. But I do know that when you think of the Houston Oilers and you think of the coaches of the Houston Oilers, the number one guy is Bum Phillips. Jeff Fisher has the all-time record for wins in Titans Oilers history, and he passed Bum Phillips in order to be that guy. So 6 years, Bum Phillips was the coach. He won 61% of his games. It wasn't good enough for Bud Adams. He fired Bum Phillips, and then as Amy told Mike Keith years later, he probably regretted it. So the Titans were the worst team in the league. And John Robinson gets hired as general manager. And John Robinson immediately trades for DeMarco Murray. And from the worst team in the league, 2-14 in 2014, 3-13 in 2015, immediately they're 9-7. Talk about all these bad teams year after year that keep trying to get it right, like Jacksonville. And how hard it's been for them. And Cleveland. And the Raiders. And Washington. And John Robinson shows up immediately, and the team is 9-7. And contending for the playoffs. The next year, the team makes the playoffs, wins a playoff game. And he did that without Mike Vrabel. Then he hires Mike Vrabel. And they made the playoffs 3 years in a row. This will be four. And they've won two straight division titles. This will be three. And it sounds like from what I've heard, what a lot of you believe, what I've heard is Amy Adams Strunk looked at John Robinson's tenure and thought, you've done a good job, but you haven't done a great job. So I'm moving on. You've made some good moves, trading for DeMarco Murray, drafting Derrick Henry, drafting Jack Conklin and Kevin Byard. You've made trading a fourth-round pick for Ryan Tannehill, drafting Jeffrey Simmons, drafting A.J. Brown, hiring Mike Vrabel. But at the end of the day, I want a general manager who doesn't show up to training camp back-to-back years without a starting right tackle. I want a general manager who can figure out the kicking game. I want a general manager who isn't going to trade away A.J. Brown and then have it come back and bite me in the butt. I want a general manager who won't be the only guy in the league who bites on the Julio Jones trade to give both a pick and take on the money. And I understand the reasoning. though I am shocked by the timing of it. And let me say this, I would not have done that if I owned the team. As much as those John Robinson moves drove me crazy at the time and drive me crazy now to think about Caleb Farley in the first round, I would not have fired a general manager who had 7 winning seasons, 3 straight division titles, and had me as a Super Bowl contender last season. That's her choice. She owns the team. And again, everything I'm told is this is what it looks like to the outside. There wasn't a confrontation. There wasn't infighting. There wasn't a scandal. There wasn't. It was just she decided he ain't doing a good enough job. And I wonder if she thought about it when she did this, about her father and when he fired Bum Phillips and how she said the grass isn't always greener. How she said that I think Daddy wishes he could have gone back to the bum years. And I wonder if this will be what she looks at as her Bum Phillips situation. I think Mike Vrabel's the best coach in the NFL. And the way people talk about him, both here and outside of here, it's like, oh, Vrabel, he's carried this entire organization. He's the man. Let me tell you something. In terms of importance in the NFL, the number one thing is quarterback. I think we can all agree with that. If you've got Joe Burrow, you're in good shape. Number two, it's talent evaluator. If you're the guy that picks at the back end of the first round every year and just keeps drilling picks and you go into the third round and the fourth round and you're nailing these guys and all of a sudden that fifth round linebacker's an all pro, you can have a bad coach and get away with it. Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl. And then, coach is the third most important thing. And honestly, it's really not even that close to 1 and 2. So if this was, I like Vrabel and I want a GM that can work with Vrabel and I want, just know, as much as you don't like the fact that you traded for Julio Jones and that was a disaster, and you picked Caleb Farley with a back injury and that was a disaster, and you picked Isaiah Wilson and he was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and that was a disaster, and I get it, I criticize those moves too. Just remember what it was like when the Oilers moved off of Bum Phillips. Moved off to Bum Phillips in the 70s and the 80s. They were not good again. They were not good again until the 90s. Long road. And even then, with Jack Pardee, it was wild and crazy. They made a documentary about it. I don't think Bud Adams wishes he could have gone back to the Jack Pardee days. I don't think he wishes he could have gone back to the Sid Gilman days. But you heard Amy Adams Strunk say, I bet he wishes he could have gone back to the Bum Phillips days. Bum Phillips. I hope she's not looking back on it one day wishing she could have gone back to the John Robinson days. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in on the program, your thoughts today. Again, I keep looking for a there. I keep looking for something, and I've talked to a lot of people, and the thing that keeps coming out is there's not something there, that it was just performance-related. 615-737-1025. I talked to somebody in the league about John Robinson. I know how you all feel. I would say that it's 85% anti-Robinson, 20% pro-John Robinson. If I had to guess how the fans felt for all that we've talked about this week. I talked to somebody in the league, and something they told me, I went and did the math, and it's a mixed bag. 615-737-1025, pretty concerning. We'll get to that coming up next. TriStar Moving on this Fireball Hot Take Friday. TriStar Moving, those are my official movers. I absolutely love my friends at TriStar Moving, and as much as I absolutely don't like the process of moving, I love telling you about it because I know that the next person who hears this and calls my friends at TriStar Moving and gets 10% off because I sent you, they are going to say, wow, Jared Stillman, made my process for moving so much easier. And I know this because I moved with TriStar, and I also know this because I know the kind of service they have. Whether it is at the very beginning with their sales staff, their highly trained movers, or even their owners, Garrett and Robert, local Nashville guys, I know them. I believe in them. I consider them great friends. I think they are fantastic at what they do, and that's why I love telling you about it. Just get a bid from TriStar. Moving is expensive, so get a bid. And when you get a bid and you work with TriStar, you'll go through the process and you will say, wow, this is exactly who I want to do business with. Again, that's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219, or visit their website at nationalmoving.org/radio. And again, they'll give you 10% off your entire move, and 10% is a lot of money. TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219. Nationalmoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you for 10% off your entire move. TriStar Moving, my official movers.
You know, what I was told, and it's remarkably vague, the information that's sort of been shared about this whole thing is just that there was a disconnect that developed between ownership and John, and that there was some frustration about it, and that, you know, it wasn't like it was all what happened with A.J. Brown, but that was definitely a factor, the way that that trade, you know, happened. And, you know, John's track record with some free agency decisions, obviously some draft picks, did not help. It has not been adequately explained to me why the timing worked out the way that it did, or, you know, considering sort of what John's contract situation was coming into the season, why, you know, why all of a sudden this just developed now. But I do think that, again, what was shared with me was there was just an element of frustration.
That was Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports senior NFL writer, on with Robbie and Retro today, their senior insider. And as Joe wanted to point out, boy, Joe Retro's been on one lately about Adam Schefter. And then, look, you know, Charles Robinson's not going to be like Adam Schefter. He's not going to send gifts to his sources, or he's not going to write nice things about Deshaun Watson because it means he'll get more information in the future. So you heard right there in that cut, Charles Robinson is telling you, I just heard that it was frustration. Ownership was frustrated with John Robinson, and that's why they chose to make the move that they made. The timing, he doesn't understand. Now, I'm not sure I understand it either, but they were just frustrated. And I get it. I get it. I remember doing a segment in which I said before the 2021 draft, like, most general managers don't survive two bad drafts in a row. That even if it doesn't bite them right then, it'll bite them down the road. And there's really no way to argue that he had two bad drafts in a row, 20 and 21. Both were bad. This one, the jury is still out. It's way too early. But 20 and 21 were bad. So I get it. I get that element of it. But I talked to somebody in the league who's been in the league for a long time. And I said, you know, John Robinson did win a lot of games. But there's the idea around here that the Titans are looking to go from a good general manager who won games and got him out of the basement to a great general manager who can get him to the top. Though I don't know how a general manager could get them that much better than competing for the Super Bowl, but I digress. And that person in the league said to me, go compare him with the other general managers. Go put his record up against the other general managers' records in the NFL. And I said, well, you know, but the other general managers, they probably don't have the Isaiah Wilson pick. And then he goes, that doesn't matter. Nobody cares about Isaiah Wilson. If the Titans had drafted Isaiah Wilson in the first round of that draft, and he had gone off the deep end like he did, but in the fifth round of that draft, they had drafted the next Orlando Pace, who became their starting right tackle, nobody would have cared. Nobody would have cared. They didn't. But just to say, oh, he missed on this pick or he missed on this trade, those things don't bother me. It's all about the winning and the losing. So compare them to the other ones. So what I did was I took every decision maker that right now is currently in the playoffs, and I put their record, their winning percentage, up against his. And I was a little surprised by what I came up with. Again, John Robinson has a basically 65, 61%. 61% for John Robinson. Brandon Bean in Kansas City, or excuse me, in Buffalo, Andy Reid in Kansas City, Eric DaCosta in Baltimore are the only ones, along with Pete Carroll, who's right there with John Robinson at 62% in Seattle. They're the only ones that are ahead of him. And with DaCosta, I think we have to at least be fair that he inherited a good team that made the playoffs almost every year from Ozzie Newsome with a franchise quarterback in Lamar Jackson. The first year that DaCosta effectively took over, the Ravens went 14-2 with Ozzie Newsome's team. John Robinson took over a team that was going 3-13. But again, his record is still better technically than John Robinson's. So four guys, and I don't count the first year guys because, you know, Minnesota's general manager, what did he do? Those are all Rick Spielman's players. So Rick Spielman and Joe Schoen of the Giants, they don't count. Other than that, Mike Brown of the Bengals, 41%. Not as good as 61%. Chris Greer of the Dolphins, 52%. Joe Douglas of the Jets, 33%. Howie Roseman of the Eagles, who just cooked the Titans, has the best team in the league. Everybody is applauding Howie Roseman for his A.J. Brown trade as much as they are slamming John Robinson for that same trade. 54%. So John Robinson, who just got fired, 61%. Howie Roseman, 54%. The great Kyle Shanahan of the 49ers. And I'll say this, Shanahan, technically Shanahan's the decision maker there. I know Lynch is the GM, but technically it's in his contract. Shanahan is the final say. So I put them together, Lynch and Shanahan. They have done a great job drafting. They've got a lot of good players on that team, guys like Kittle and Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. And on defense, Fred Warner. And, I mean, it's a good team. Those guys, 51%. 10% less than John Robinson. Oh, Jared, they made a Super Bowl. Yeah, they made a Super Bowl. They lost that to Kansas City by 11 points. The Titans played in the AFC Championship game that year. They lost by 11 points. Jason Light, he won a Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. 45%, not as good as 61%. Jerry Jones, 50%. So think about this. Other than the very, very best, and I have said I think Brandon Bean with Buffalo is the best general manager in the league, and Andy Reid is almost unstoppable in Kansas City in terms of consistency, whether it's Alex Smith or Patrick Mahomes, and you got to give Andy his due. And if you told me the Titans were going to get Andy Reid to run the organization, I would tell you, okay, fine. I like John Robinson, but if you want to get Andy Reid in here to run the organization, that's fine. Pete Carroll is right there with John Robinson. And Pete's had some blunders too now. Let's not forget about that Jamal Adams trade. I know he just fleeced the Broncos, but let's not forget, Pete's not perfect. So other than those guys, everybody else who currently has a team in the playoffs has a worse winning percentage than the guy the Titans fired because he wasn't good enough. Which is really the crux of how I feel about this. Which is, I love the optimism of John Robinson's fine, 61%, but why not, Jared? Why not get a guy like Andy Reid that wins 71% of his games and has hosted four straight AFC championship games? That's what we want, Jared. I've seen the Titans hire general managers. I've seen the other guys. I've seen Mike Reinfeld. I lived through that. I remember Rustin Webster. I've seen the other teams in the league hire general managers. I'm nervous that the grass isn't always greener. Robinson had his shortcomings. Boy, did he ever. But just his love of injured players was number one for me. But just look at the win percentage. I said this so many times when it came down to people talking about Robinson. We talked about Robinson all the time. He's general manager of the football team. But I kept saying, no matter what you say, as far as, well, I didn't like this pick, or I didn't like that trade, or I thought that was bad, and then that was bad, and that was bad. As much as you can weigh those things together, the only thing that matters for a general manager is winning. Like, that's it. That's the only thing that matters, is did your general manager win? And the general manager here won a lot more than a lot of other teams' general managers won. The general manager here had a lot more playoff success than other general managers here have had. And while it's easy to talk about what could be better, I got to be honest with you. I'm scared about the likelihood that what you're going to get is worse. I mean, I'm petrified of that. And that's what the Titans have to be confident they can do is better. That they can do better than what they have, which right now in the playoffs would essentially be tied for the fourth best general manager with Pete Carroll. Brandon Bean, he's a little bit better. Andy Reid, he's better. And then DaCosta in Baltimore. I mean, I'm not a fan of Baltimore. That's just me. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We will go to your phones. I see them. And then also, I do understand there's a lot of double talk as far as where the Titans are, where they should be, where they shouldn't be, etc. There's one thing that absolutely cannot happen, and I am scared to death of it. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. You all know that I love ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Why? Because it goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There's no better way to celebrate a great weekend that is ahead of us, full of sports and holiday parties are probably coming up, than to do that with ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Again, don't be the person who has the holiday party and doesn't have the Fireball. That is like the most frustrating thing you can do. So let it rock. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. It goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. Again, be 21 years or older to enjoy, and please drink responsibly. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.
How do you feel like they've dealt with the distraction of this week as far as practice and everything else is concerned?
Great. You know, I mean, I think really good.
How'd Racy manage how'd you manage Racy? And
just a second. Okay. And the most important thing is, again, is our performance on Sunday. That's, you know, we've had, you know, I think we've gotten better each and every day. There was a lot of details that I saw guys fix and correct and come out today. The most important thing is how we play on Sunday. And so practice is really critical, but not as critical as the game.
I love how Mike Vrabel today was like, I think they've done a good job this week. And then all of a sudden, like, hold on, let me address, you know, that it doesn't matter how we practice, it matters how we play. Let me say this, I'm scared to death this week of this Jacksonville Jaguars team. This Jacksonville Jaguars team freaking stinks. And I am scared to death of them. Because Jacksonville didn't fire their general manager this week. Jacksonville didn't have every single person in town trying to get to the bottom of what the hell is going on inside of there. Because that's what's happened around here. I am scared to death of it. And the line, Titans -3.5. They give you 3 points for home field. So Vegas is telling you that this week, Jacksonville is a half-point dog to the Titans. That Jacksonville team? And I get it. I'm scared to death of the Jags. And if they lose, it's on the owner. Now, I've never said that a loss is on the owner before. At least I don't think I have. And I'm talking about this owner. I'm sure, you know, Jerry Jones has done things in the past. And I say, you know, Dallas was distracted because of Jerry. I've never said that about this owner. If they lose this game, owner. Because they would have, if this were a normal week where the general manager doesn't get fired, and they would have spent all this time, you know, preparing for Jacksonville, coming off of two losses, including one where they just got blown out, the Titans would have kicked the crap out of Jacksonville. Now, I'm not sure anybody knows what's what around here. And again, the message, they can say whatever they want. The message to the players, when you fire the general manager because he didn't do a good enough job picking out players, the message is, we don't think you guys are very good. How do you think Dennis Daly felt this week as far as his team's belief in him? How do you think Treylon Burks everybody this week with, oh, Mike Vrabel didn't want that A.J. Brown trade. The ownership fired the general manager because of the A.J. Brown trade. How do you think Treylon Burks felt? And he's probably not the only one. So I'm scared to death of this game this week with Jacksonville. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Ed has been waiting patiently and is going to kick us off today. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, Jared. Thanks for taking my call real quickly. Look, man, I'm sorry. He did win some games here, but he couldn't win the most important game. He's never won an AFC title. Floyd Reese, only coach in our history to ever won a title. I don't know who has the greatest winning percentage. It doesn't matter. He's done something that John Robinson didn't. And I'll tell you something else. I'll go a step further. If Brandon Bean wins the Super Bowl for the Bills, they'll forget that. I mean, they will never have known Marv Levy. Okay?
I don't think that's true about Marv Levy.
That is true.
But I wouldn't think so. I'll put it to you like this. How many seasons do you give a guy before you say, you know what? This guy just can't win the Super Bowl. How many seasons? Because that's kind of a sentiment that's come up around here is, I know Robinson won a lot of games, but he couldn't win in the playoffs. Now, let me ask you this question. You think it's John Robinson's fault Ryan Tannehill threw 3 interceptions last year against the Cincinnati Bengals? No, you do not. You know that it is not John Robinson's fault that they lost that playoff game last year to the Cincinnati Bengals. You know that. I know that. Amy knows that. We all know they didn't lose to the Bengals last year because John Robinson didn't give them a team that could beat the Bengals. They lost because Ryan Tannehill crapped his pants. Because Ryan Tannehill had a horrible season, probably in large part because they have a terrible offensive coordinator that John Robinson didn't hire. So, you know, you can put that up. He cannot win the big one. You know how many years Andy Reid coached before he won the big one? Andy Reid started coaching at age 41. Andy Reid won his first Super Bowl at age 61. So Andy Reid started coaching at 41, and he won the Super Bowl 20 years later. So I guess Andy Reid stinks. You guys wouldn't like Andy Reid around here. If Amy Adams Strunk said we're going to hire Andy Reid as the coach. Oh, no. I know Andy wins 11, 12, 13 games every year. I know Andy goes to the playoffs every year, but no thank you. We don't want Andy Reid. A reminder, by the way, Philadelphia fired Andy Reid. You know who they hired? Chip Kelly. So you guys, oh, man, he can't win in the playoffs. By the way, Brandon Bean, and I love Brandon Bean. I think he's the best general manager in the NFL. The last 3 years, the Buffalo Bills have lost in the wild card round, lost in the divisional round, and lost in the AFC championship game. Nothing to sneeze at. The Tennessee Titans in the last 3 years have lost in the wild card game, lost in the divisional round, and lost in the AFC championship game. And that's the best general manager, in my opinion, in the league. I get it. You know, you got to win in the playoffs. You got to win the big one. He can't win the big one. You want to give him a chance? And not only that, think about all these other guys and think about their quarterbacks. And now Andy Reid and Brandon Bean, they got their quarterbacks. But think about, for instance, Eric DaCosta in Baltimore. He took the job. Lamar Jackson was the quarterback. He didn't have to go find a quarterback. John Robinson took the job. Marcus Mariota was the quarterback. They gave Marcus every chance, which was put upon him when he got hired, was to kind of make Marcus pop. Didn't work. They end up winning with Ryan Tannehill. And Tannehill's fine, but Tannehill ain't great. So what do you want him to do? Tear it down and go try to find the next? Well, that's not good enough because, you know, we want to win. We want to win the championship. I mean, so make of that what you will. Weston is up next and has been waiting patiently. 615-737-1025. What's up, Weston?
Hey, Jared, thanks for letting me on. Real quick, I know you, with John Robinson out the door, and I know you've said your displeasure with David Poyle and the Predators. Do we go ahead with new stadiums and stuff on the horizon, and go ahead and get rid of both general managers and start fresh moving forward? Or is it
why would you put
why,
Weston, why would you put those two things together?
Because they're both crap teams right now.
I mean, really? Because I think the Titans are going to win their third straight division title.
Division titles and weighing it into AFC championships, I mean, it really depends on if you can get that far.
I mean, I don't know what's happened around here. I appreciate your call, Weston. I don't know what's happened around here with this entitlement to the Super Bowl. I mean, I do not get it. Like, I do not understand. Do you guys think, let's use Bill Polian as an example. Bill Polian is in the Hall of Fame. He's got a gold jacket. And Bill Polian knew he was drafting Peyton Manning number one overall when he took over the Colts. Bill Polian, he built a team that if they had just made one field goal against the Giants in the Super Bowl, people would remember differently in Buffalo. That team was incredible. Whether it was Andre Reed or James Lofton or Thurman Thomas or convincing Jim Kelly to play for Buffalo, Bruce Smith, that team was awesome. They made four Super Bowls in a row. Do you think Bill Polian wasn't a good enough general manager to build a Super Bowl winner in Buffalo? I know they didn't win. But the general manager, all a general manager can do, especially in a salary cap era, all a general manager can do is build you a team good enough to win. He can't win it for you. He doesn't coach the team, so he doesn't make those decisions. Do we call a timeout right here? Do we not call a timeout right here? He doesn't go out there and execute the play. Tom Brady gets the ball down by three with 4 minutes to go. Boy, I don't want to be on defense there. There's nothing at that point your general manager can do. It is not Floyd Reese's fault that Kevin Dyson was tackled 1 yard short of the goal line. The reality is, for a five-year period, the Tennessee Titans were every bit the competitor for the Super Bowl. You can't ask for more. They were 1 yard short in 99. They had the best record in the NFL and lost to a really good team in 2000. They ended up in the AFC Championship game in 2002, and they were in a dogfight on the road at New England, and they lost by 3 points against Brady. Drew Bennett dropped a pass on fourth down that Steve McNair fired down the field, hit him in the hands, and it fell to the ground. Is Floyd Reese at fault because Drew Bennett didn't catch that ball? Now, I understand if you're 4-12. Now, I understand if your team consistently is coming up short. I get it. But all a general manager can do is just give you a team that can compete. To me, the Titans and the Predators are two totally different stories. Because somebody said, well, Jared, yo, you guys criticize the Predators because the Predators get to the playoffs and don't win. Well, the Predators get to the playoffs in a league in which literally half the teams make the playoffs, and they don't even compete in those. The Titans were the number one seed. The Titans essentially won the President's Trophy last year in the NFL. And I'm not saying that I'm here to count up President's Trophies and that's what's going to make me happy long term. But there is a big difference. You've got to understand there's a huge difference when it comes to, you know, he just couldn't get us over the top. What do you want him to do? Go down there and snap it to himself? A general, Bill Polian won Super Bowl with the Colts. Was it Bill Polian's fault? They had a team that could compete for the championship every year. Was it Bill Polian's fault that every year they had to go on the road and beat the greatest quarterback who ever lived? Bill Polian's a great general manager. You guys would die for Bill Polian if you could get the next Bill Polian in here to take John Robinson's spot. Sit there and talk about how, well, you know, don't you think with a new stadium that we need a new horizon? And what talk is that? That, guys, come on now. This is an organization that was horrible. And now every year is contending. And every year, even this year, we said this on Monday before they fired Robinson on Tuesday, that we were not willing to say the Titans were not contenders. Apparently, everybody else feels differently. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. The most surprising element of what I've figured out this week, which is wild to me, we'll get to that next. Fireball Hot Take Friday, Stillman and Company, right here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Let me tell all the fine folks out there to tune in for the pregame show this Sunday live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge, located at 1322 6th Avenue North in Germantown. Join me, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason from 9:30 to 11:30 prior to the Titans and the Jags. And the pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company.
What did John Robinson do? Let's take our guesses. What did he do, AJ?
I mean, there's so many possibilities. I guess just what Jen, it's just probably just some minor disagreements that have kind of continued to happen throughout the season. I guess that's all it might be.
Okay, so you're saying pissed off Vrabel?
No, I'm just saying, I don't know. He probably has disagreements with the front office as well, I would imagine, the ownership and everybody there.
So pissed off the owner?
Yeah, obviously, okay. If the owner's firing you, they're not happy.
Okay, so you're saying he pissed off the owner.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what he did to piss off the owner, but yeah, that's what I'm
This going. Is your guess. My guess, pissed off Vrabel. Uh-huh. Okay? Your guess?
Him and the OC were having a power hour on the back of the plane.
Okay. Might have got caught on tape.
Might have got caught on tape.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good point. That's the direction I was going as well.
Tone?
Yeah, it's something unfootball related.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's...
It has nothing to do with disagreements
what does
with
that mean?
The ownership or Vrabel or a trade he made. This guy is into some stuff, okay?
Tone.
That was the Pat McAfee show after the news on Tuesday. And what did he do? What did John Robinson do? And I have investigated as much as I possibly can without subpoena power, trying to figure out what John Robinson did. And I have investigated every possible conspiracy theory. Whether it was the Green Bay plane, whether it was he and Vrabel and their relationship, I've asked questions on the record. I've talked to people off the record. I can't find anybody who says anything other than the owner just wanted to go in a different direction. That the owner was fed up. That it was time for a change. I don't agree with it by any stretch of the imagination in the middle of the season. But that's what it is. So all the conspiracy theories, a conspiracy theory honestly made more sense than what it feels like reality is. I told somebody today that I actually had somebody who was a high ranking executive in town for a long time texted me today and said, I bet it was the plane. And I said, look, I threw that theory out there. Fitz thought that originally too. Every time I bring it up, Joe Rexroad's like, why would they fire somebody over the plane? Deshaun Watson sexually assaulted 24 women. He's still in the league. Why would they fire somebody over the plane? And the executive was like, that team is run by a lawyer. And I got to believe that it was something. And I'm like, everybody I've talked to a lot of people trying to get to the bottom of this. And I'm telling you what reality says. And reality says to me, at least from everything I've gathered, people that have called me and people I've called. I mean, it's wild and crazy around here, but it's not any of these conspiracy theories that would make sense. Text her into the text line. Chris says, do you think John Robinson put a Super Bowl capable team on the field? And let me answer this question for you by saying, I think he did. I believe last season's team was good enough to win the Super Bowl. I think what happens is everybody looks at their own team. Years ago, there was a basketball team that was playing in the Elite Eight. And the coach of the team that was playing in the Elite Eight was talking about the other team's players, and this was kind of off the record at a dinner. And he was talking about this. And just, oh, this player's great. That player's great. This player's good. This player's... And the radio play-by-play guy of the basketball team just said, you know, to the coach, you know, you've got pretty good players too. That's why you're in the Elite Eight. And the coach turns to the radio play-by-play guy and he goes, everybody hates their own players. So when I bring up last year's team, you'll bring up the inefficiencies on offense or the lack of a tight end as a big-time option for this team. But every team, even the ones that win the Super Bowl, have their limitations. Look at Tampa Bay right now. Tampa Bay is a mess. And guess what? They will compete in the NFC playoffs. Every single team has a weakness. Some teams more than others. I mean, ask yourself this, Kansas City. The Titans went right to the wire with Kansas City, played a great game, and ended up losing in overtime with a backup quarterback. And everybody tells me, Kansas City's the best. Kansas City has one starting NFL receiver on their team, Mecole Hardman. And he is, at best, a number two, probably more of a number three. He is, at best, a number two. They have no other NFL receivers that are like number ones. Valdez-Scantling is not a number one. Juju Smith-Schuster is not a number one. Sky Moore is not a number one. They have no running game. And they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round. Good pick that was. So every team has their flaws. The team the Titans put on the field last year was a Super Bowl contender. John Robinson built a Super Bowl contender last season. You know that team that won the Super Bowl, the Rams? They beat them. They beat Kansas City. They beat Buffalo. They beat San Francisco. So, yes, he built a Super Bowl caliber team last year, regardless of whether or not you think so. Just like Bill Polian put all those Super Bowl caliber teams on the field year after year after year. And I'm not saying he's Bill Polian, but my whole argument is I personally just don't think that the odds are in the Titans' favor to find somebody better that can win 61% of their games if the only reason they fired their general manager is for performance, and that's what people say. Would you rather have Nick Caserio of the Houston Texans? You know you wouldn't. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get back to your phones. 615-737-1025. Plus, this Jacksonville game tomorrow, or Sunday, I should say, this Jacksonville game, it reminds me of a game of Titans past that is an all-timer. I'll explain why. That's next. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, The Game. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I love my friends at Hiller. That's right. Hiller's been taking care of my home for years, and they can do the exact same for you. Hiller is giving away cash for the holidays, and they are celebrating from now until the end of the year with special deals. Hiller wants to make sure every child experiences the joy of Christmas this year, and they're donating $50 in Toys for Tots with every tankless water heater purchase, and giving away a $250 Visa gift card with each unit. Get a $500 Visa gift card when you buy select new HVAC systems, or get a $500 Visa gift card with the purchase of any new whole home generator. They have more deals online at happyhiller.com, and as always, happy you will be, or that service is free. And these deals are only available until the end of the year, so schedule today. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. My guys, proud supporters of the Nashville Predators. You'll see that logo right there on the ice tomorrow. Proud supporters of the Predators, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.